The point we're up to, Masil Sesharim, intersects very nicely with the opening of the sugya, the heart of the sugya. Gemara, the Gemara Masachas Tainis, the very first Amud, quotes a Medrash Halacha. Torah talks about to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a whole heart. So the Gemara quotes a Medrash that wonders, what does that mean? He's only Avodah Shebelev. Which Avodah is done with the heart? Well, often Avodah means Avodah HaKarbanos. That's done with the hands. It's not done with the heart. So the Bryce answer is Hevi Omer Zu Tefillah. This must refer to Tefillah. Tefillah is an Avodah which is done. Belev. Mentioned, I think, in passing, the comment of Yaakov Kamenetsky in a Sefer Emes LeYaakov, Chumash Dvarim, that he thought that in biblical Hebrew, lev refers to both the heart and the mind. So, Eiz Avodah Shebelev, which is an Avodah not of the hands but of the heart, an Avodah of the mind, Hevi Omer Zu Tefillah. And the Rambam understood that drasha is an absolute drasha gemura. It generates a real din daraisa. As a matter of fact, he understood it's not even a drasha in the usual sense of an additional level of interpretation, which is daraisa, but rather that this is pshuto shel mikra. Because the Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos that when he begins the Sefer HaMitzvos with a set of 14 criteria to determine what is and what is not a mitzvah. Gemara says there's 613 mitzvahs, but there are way more than 613 dinim, so clearly not every din is a mitzvah. Rambam is a series of criteria that develops to sort out which are the dinim which are also mitzvahs, and which are the dinim which are dinim and are binding, but don't have the title mitzvah. Shorish Aleph, rule number one, criteria number one is a mitzvah specifically doraisa. Criteria number two, supposed to drop on them. Criteria number two, Sharish Beis, is a mitzvah specifically Torah Shebichsav, Pshuto Shel Mikra, not Torah Shrapa, even Doraisa. And the Rambam counts Tefillah B'chol Yom as a mitzvah Doraisa. Where's the Pasuk in Chumash? As Pshuto Shel Mikra. He says, here you go. Gemara began tiny. It's close to the Midrash Halacha. The Torah says, that is a reference again, not even a drasha, as pshuto shel mikra, as avodah belev means tefillah. That is how the Rambam is clearly reading that medrash quoted by the Gemara in Tainis Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban thinks that tefillah is certainly meaningful in the Torah. Has real impact, but that the obligation to daven is only midrabanan, except when you're in a crisis. And the Rambam says no, that the full details of how we're obligated to daven, many of the details are drabanan. He says the fact that we daven three times a day at particular times and with a particular nusach hatfilah, specifically Shmoneh Esrei, those are drabanan details. And so the Rambam also writes the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, beginning of Perek Aleph. But to daven at least once a day, every day, in some format or another, at some time of the day or night or another, that for the Rambam din daraisa based on the avda b'chol vavad. So the Ramban attacks the Rambam, and he points out there are a number of Gemaras that seem to assume that the obligation to daven daily is only midrabanan. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. There's a lot to negotiate with that. The Ramban is asagas and sefer mitzvos. There's a larger question, which is a simple logical question. Not only against the Rambam, but really against the Medrash that the Gemara in Tainis is quoting, which is, Zoe Avodah Shebelev, Havi Omer Zu Tefillah, why is Tefillah more of an Avodah Shebelev than Karbanos? Karbanos also require Kavana. Zvachem Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the very first topic in Kachin, is the role that Machshava plays in bringing in the kashrus of Karbanos. Machshava often is dispositive, will determine whether a Karban is kosher or puzzle. Machshava matters profoundly. Kavana matters profoundly. But it's not an avodah shebelev. It's an avodah of the Adayim, where the lays also matters. Same lechar should be true for tefillah. It's an avodah of the pet, where obviously the lay matters, but it's not an avodah of the lay, it's an avodah of the pet. Very strange. And in fact, the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. He says, I have all these rise from Gemaras that the obligation to daven on a daily basis is Rabbanan but not Daraisa. Rabbanan says, well, what do I do with this? What the comment of the Braisa, quoted in Maseches Tanis. Rabban says, that's an asmachta, that's not drasha gemura, that's not, that Chazal created the drabar tefillah, and then said it's alluded to, it's reflected, or at least a mnemonic. You can remember the zechiyah tefillah by remember thinking of this pasuk, but Rabban says, the Daraisa interpretation of the pasuk is exactly what we saw yesterday in Mesilas Yesharim. It's not a specific new act that's required as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam saw it's the act of tefillah. Rabban says rather it's an adverb. It's the Torah is saying, giving us a vision of how we're supposed to go about doing all the other mitzvahs. The chol of avchem in a wholehearted fashion. That's what the Sijarim, the Hakdama, we saw yesterday, quote from this Rambam. The Sagas on the Sefer Mitzvahs. It has to do with, in general, doing mitzvahs with the motivation lishma. All mitzvahs, doing them with full conviction. All mitzvahs, doing them with your brain and drive rather than rote. Mitzvahs anashim milumada. The quality of how you do all sorts of mitzvahs rather than being an independent separate mitzvah. Okay, so in that case, lev fits perfectly. It's all about thinking about the quality of your thought and intent and feeling when you do a mitzvah. For the Rambam, though, what is this in Shulchan Mikra? It's incredibly challenging. I understand that. So the answer suggested lies in appreciation of the fact that, unlike by Karbanas, where the core act of Hakarbanas is done with the hands, Machshava is an important peripheral piece. But what emerges from Chaim at the intersection of Chaim and Rabbi Nachman is the notion that by Tefillah, actually, it's not primarily an avoda of the mouth. It is primarily an avoda of the heart and mind, even though the mouth is necessary in terms of how you implement. But it is at core avoda of the heart and mind, the avoda of the lev, exactly as the Medrash says in Maseches Tainis. And you understood why the Rambam specifically, Lishitaso, understood that can be pshuto shamikra, consistent with what he writes later in Hilchos Tefillah in Perek Dalet. And in Paragir. Why do I say it's at the intersection of at the corner of Brisk and Breslov, where Chaim using Reb Chaim to understand Reb Nachman, not two Talmidei Chacham whom you typically find in the same sentence or paragraph or chapter. I'm not talking about Reb Chaim Cohen. I'm not talking about the Amora of Nachman, but Reb Chaim of Brisk and Reb Nachman of Breslov. That's because another larger question in the Sugya Tzila is that we often use tefillah to mean one of several different things. If you think about it analytically, they don't really seem like they're the same. We use tefillah to talk about what we've talked up until now, which is structured tefillah with a particular text. Certainly means Rabbanan with a particular text, right? And that's the way we carry out the din d'oraisa of tefillah. According to Rambam, there's a din d'oraisa of tefillah. Specific time, specific text. At the same time, Rabbi Nachum is very famous for stressing the shtapchus hanefesh. The tefillah has to be, you have to carve out time to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu in free-flowing language, your own words. Talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu in your own words. There's some very beautiful conversational tefillahs that we have recorded from Rabbi Nachum. And then he's pointed out, it's not only Breslov, it's Brisk also. The Rav has his famous deher, that the shofar is not only a mitzvah, but actually a form, specifically it's a form of tefillah, a wordless type of tefillah. A number of riots, one we mentioned, is that's why shofar, the only three mitzvahs that we fulfill in the midst of Shemona Esrei, we do many mitzvahs in shul before or after Shemona Esrei, Kriya Shema before, Halal after, and Kriya Satori either before or after, and Lulav after, and so on. We do many other mitzvahs in Beis HaKnesses other than tefillah. But in the middle of Shemona Esrei, Chazar Sashat, certainly, we have three other mitzvahs that we do. Only three. Birkas Kohanim, which is a form of tefillah. Vidui on Yom Kippur, which is not a form of tefillah, but it is a conversational Fnei Hashem. We'll get back to that. And then Shofar. Shofar is a mitzvah. But Shofar is a mitzvah like Lulav is a mitzvah. So do it after. Do it before. There's a bris in shul. They tell you in Shulchan Aruch when to do the bris milah. In between Shachar and Musaf. Halal in between Shachar and Musaf. have the bris mila in the middle of Shema Esrei. We don't have the halal in the middle of Shema Esrei. We don't have the lulav in the middle of Shema Esrei. We don't have the kriyas haTorah in the middle of Shema Esrei. So why do we have the shofar in the middle of Shema Esrei? What's the hak of the pshat? So the Rav said, well, apparently shofar is a form of tefillah. Okay? Like Birkas Kohanim. The difference is Birkas Kohanim is a prescribed text. I understand. You're saying Yirech Hashem Yishmecha. What type of tefillah is shofar? Is tefillah formal, or is tefillah this free-flowing type of thing? And again, even more so, is tefillah with words, is tefillah without words? What sort of definition of tefillah can be so fluid that all these different models are tefillah? So those are sort of the two overarching questions are, a Zoe Avodah Shebelev have Yomer Zitfilah, how is that, how is Tfilah primarily Avodah Shebelev as opposed to Avodah Shebepeh? And particularly for the Rambo understands that this is Mamish Pshul Shemikra and therefore counts Tfilah as one of the Tired Mitzvah Torah. And how does Rabbi Nachman fit? How does informal Tfilah fit? How does wordless Tfilah of the Shofar fit? So the answer appears to lie in Reb Chaim's resolution, Reb Chaim's understanding of the Rambo's resolution of steering Gemaras. The steering Gemara is between the fourth and fifth Brachim of Brachas. Tosis raises the steering, gives an answer. Reb Chaim Mibrisk points out that the Rambam clearly did not have the same answer as Tosis, and he says if you read the Rambam carefully, you'll see what the Rambam's terrors. What was the stira? The Tosis Ray points out. Brachas Daf Lamed versus Brachas Daf Lamed Dalim. Both Gemaras, the first to the end of the fourth parak, the second to the end of the fifth parak, both Gemaras are talking about Kavana B'Tfilah. But they seem to have different shiurim of how much, to what extent is Kavana B'Tfilah ma'akev as opposed to just highly recommended. And Daf Lamed, the Gemara says, Kavana B'Tfilah is ma'akev. That was the Gemara of Reb Zeira, watching his Rebbe repeat Shema Esrei, get into the whole conversation, and says, if you would have not had Kavana, of course you would have to repeat the Shema Esrei, but I can't imagine that the Rebbe didn't have Kavana, because as a matter of fact, the din is you have to self-assess before you even begin the Shema Esrei. Gotta stop and think, am I ready? Do I need to collect my thoughts more? So in that context, Daf Lamed, first Gemara, is pretty clear that Kavana is Ma'akev with no hesitations or limitations. Kavana is Ma'akev Shema Esrei. Daf Lamed Daled, in the fifth part, the Gemara said, Kavana is Ma'akev. How much? Brought one bracha. Which bracha? The first bracha. So which one is it? Kavana ma'akev throughout Shema Esrei, or Kavana only ma'akev in the first bracha? So Tosis raises a kasha on Daf Lamed Daled. And Tosis says, answer number one, Tosis says, it's not a stira. The Gemara, the first Gemara never said beferish that ma'akev throughout the Shema Esrei. They just didn't specify. So Sosim had to come a farish. The Gemara Daf Lamed Daled, same shot, the Gemara Daf Lamed. He told you, hey, that Kavana ma'akev, we didn't give you the details, now we're going to work out, here's the fine print. Daf Lamed is the concept, Daf Lamed Daled is the fine print. For Tosfos, the two Gemaras together form a single din. As we said, if Tosfos were to write a Sefer Halacha, it would write one entry. Kavana is ma'akev, specifically in Bracha Rishon. We notice, if you read the Rambam sensitively, it spoke more broadly also about the fact that Rambam himself writes, he's always, every line, every phrase, every sneeze in the Mishnah Torah is quoting earlier sources in Chazal. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrashi Halacha, Mishnah Tosefta, something, unless he says explicitly, I'm saying my own idea, or I'm quoting my Rebbeim, I'm quoting the Gaon. His Chidushim usually lie in how he understood and therefore presents the Makoros in Chazal. So he quotes, in Perek Dalet he quotes the first Gemara, in Perek Yud he quotes the second Gemara. So if you look carefully, it becomes very clear that Perek Dalet is a restatement of the first Gemara, Perek Yud is a restatement of the second Gemara. So they're clearly not buying into Tosfos Terus that they're the same din, they're not the same din. They put it in two different places and maintains each one. And that was just a stira. Perek Dalet says Kavana is Ma'akev. In Paragyuri says Kavana Ma'akev in the first bracha, and they're clearly not even the same topic. And therein lies the beginning of the answer. Chaim says it must be a taka aren't the same topic. They sound like the same topic. It's Kavana Ma'akev. But let's say they're not. So how could that be? Aren't they the same topic? And then you begin to look at context. Perek Dalet explicitly, Rambam titles Perek Dalet as here are five things aside from Zmanim which are Ma'akev and Tefillah. Perek Hey is going to go on to Torah. Eight things which aren't Ma'akev but enhanced Tefillah, like Tachanun. But Parakeh is five items which are not timing related, but are ma'akev tefillah. Number five is kavana. That's the first rabbi who quotes the first gemara. Kavana is ma'akev. The second gemara he quotes in the Parakeh in the context of detailed dinim of Shmona Esrei. If you leave that Masein Talmud Rachi, you leave that Mashiach Moragasha. So in that context, the first of the details of the Nusach of Shmona Esrei is if you leave out Kavana, the first Racha, it's Ma'akev, you got to start again. So already you gain the sense that he understood the first Gemara is big picture, global, Ma'akev, the whole Shmona Esrei, essential to Shmona Esrei, and that the second Gemara was about a detail, an important detail. Mashiach is also an important detail, but it's a detail. It's important, it's critical, and it's a detail. So Reb Chaim says, well, there must be two kavanah. There's also two types of dinim kavanah. One is fundamental, one is a detail. The fundamental is ma'akiv thriyah, that was going on daflam. The detail is ma'akiv the first bracha, that was going on daflam and dal. What two dinim of kavanah are there? So he says, well, if you actually look at what the Rambam says, Parag Dalad, you'll find the answer. You start reading Parag Dalad. And he says, Ezoi, he tells you, quotes the Gemara's and Daf Lamed, Kavana is Ma'akim, the whole Shmona Esrei, that's why you have to self-assess before you start Shmona Esrei. And he says in Pehalach HaTazayin, and what does this Kavana look like? He says, you clear your mind of extraneous thoughts, and you visualize yourself over the Fnei Hashchina. And then he moves on to continue the conversation. So Reb Chaim says, where is Kavana? Kavanah is Pir Shamilus. He doesn't say a word about Pir Shamilus. In fact, oh, Zakhtar B'chayim, apparently, it must be that Parag Yud, the second Gemara that Rambam understood, was Kavanah is Pir Shamilus. The first Gemara, Parag Lamed, ironically, the more fundamental and globally ma'akev Kavanah is the one that we usually don't think of when we think about Kavanah. We usually think about Kavanah is Pir Shamilus. But the Rambam, that's it's always ideal. It's essential in the first Bracha, but that's the detail. The second Gemara, Daf Lamed Aleph, is going very good. Kavanah is Pirush Hamilus. But the first, more essential Kavanah was the Kavanah of Omid Lefnei Hashem. Not thinking about what you're saying, but awareness of the fact that you are in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you wonder, well, why is that? Why is it? You gave me a chiluk. What's the hezbo? Why should it be? Either however many kavanas you have to have, either kavanas are ma'akim, kavanas are ma'akim. Why is it this kavanah is only ma'akim in the beginning? It's a detail, but that kavanah is ma'akim throughout. So Chaim also says, the Mamar's like a half a line, says he alludes to that if you read the Rambam, Rambam gives you, at the very beginning of his discussion of Parag Dalad, he gives you a key hint. Because Rambam writes, he doesn't just tell you the practical din that if you feel without kavanah, you got to read Davin. He says that also. But first he says, what seems redundant, tefillah she'eni b'kavana eina tefillah. Tefillah without kavana isn't a tefillah. A definitional, essential, inherent statement. And then he goes on to say, you're talking about kavana, you got to read that. So, seems redundant. And why is he getting so dramatic? Tefillah she'eni b'kavana eina tefillah. So B'chaim says, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. He says, because the... it all comes together. Why this language and why is Kavanah the Omer Lefnei Hashem? Okay, Chaim says we have to access an important concept in the more general global halakhic world of intention. When we think about intentionality or unintentionality in halakha, even in criminal law, a person does an aveira. So you know that mezid is worse than shogeg. He's fully aware of the fact, the Jew is aware that this act constitutes Chil Shabbos. He knows that today is Shabbos. He knows that he's planting. He knows that planting on Shabbos is Chil Shabbos. He does it anyways. That's called B'mezid. And that's the most severe situation. The person does it B'shogeg, less severe. Means what's in B'shogeg B'mezid? He was unaware that what he's doing is awesome. He didn't realize today was Shabbos. He didn't realize that Zoreya is one of the office malachas, or he didn't realize that watering a plant is also a violation of Zoreya, whatever it is, he didn't realize that this is us. So that's called shogeg. Shogeg is still Aveira. How do we know? Because often it requires kapara, something you have to bring kapara chatos. Severe enough Aveira, shogeg requires a chatos. Clearly it's an Aveira, requires kapara, but not as much kapara, obviously. It's amazing. But then there's an even lower level 3, below even shogeg is misasek. Misasek. Misasek is where the issue is that you didn't realize what you're doing is aser, but rather you didn't realize what you're doing. Not that you didn't realize the halachic implications of your act, but you were not aware of physically what it was that you were doing. A fellow walked around all Shabbos outside of an Eir with things in his pocket. Not that he didn't know that's aser to carry outside the Eir. He didn't realize he had anything in his pocket. He didn't realize that he was doing the act of carrying. Or a fellow cuts a tomato in half on Shabbos afternoon, didn't realize that the tomato is actually the tomato on the vine is mamish. The vine goes out the window down to the soil. I didn't realize that I was severing this half tomato from the ground. I thought it was already all severed. Do I give such a case? More or less. A series of related cases in Parakal Gama. So those are called misasik. And in that case, the Gemara Darshan Tzukim, you don't even have to bring carbon chatas. Why don't you have to bring a carbon chatas? Let's expand a drop on something that we think left more packed up in the shir. The big Freilich Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and the Nesivos. The Nesivos is in his Sefer on Yeredeya Chavos Das, not in his Sefer on Choshe Mishpat, rather, Nesivos HaMishpat. It's not in Sefer Nesivos HaMishpat, Choshe Mishpat. It's in his Sefer Chavos Das Yeredeya. So Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Chavos Das, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Nesivos, however you want to refer to him. We have another Nesivos coming our way soon, Mitzvah, next week, in on Choshe Mishpat. So Machlek is Kiveg and Nesivos. How you understand this din that Misasik is Pater from Chatas? Does it just mean he's like a super shogeg? He requires so little kapara, he doesn't have to bring kapara. Or do you say no? More fundamentally, it's not just it's such a low level sin. It's not a chet at all because it's not even your maisa. It's a maisa without Kavanas Pu'ula doesn't even relate to the there's no tziruv of the Osa to the Maisa. Reb Chaim seems to adopt the second more robust understanding of Misasek, because I would point out that one afkamina in this Chakir of the nature of Misasek is how about if it's Misasek by a mitzvah instead of Misasek by an Avera. I do a mitzvah in Misasek, which not for now, but it's probably Machlek because Rashi takes the beginning of the second paragraph of Brachos. And that's what's going on right here. And Chaim says, if you daven kol tefillah she'en b'kavana in a tefillah, why? Says Reb Chaim, because you're a misasek. You didn't realize you were davening. If you daven, I realize you're davening. Reb Chaim thinks you picked up an esrog. You didn't realize you had an esrog in your hand. So it's misasek. No ma'aseh mitzvah. If that comes up in the end of the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, I listened to a shofar. I didn't realize I was listening to a shofar. There was some noise in the background. Turns out I didn't realize I was hearing a call shofar. I thought it was my alarm clock. I thought it was the guy next to me. He's always changing his ringtone. I thought it was his phone. Turns out it's actually a shofar. So misasek, no my that's pashas gemara, no my simits. Shem Chaim says if you didn't realize you were davening, it's not your maisa tefillah. Okay, get all the questions. One second, when I didn't realize I was davening, I knew I was davening. I was saying three words of shemitz. Right? So Shem Chaim, aha. That's not davening. The definition of davening is not saying the words. The definition of davening is amida l'fnei Hashem. The reason why kavanas amida l'fnei Hashem is so central, unlike kavanas pirush amilas, is because the definition of tefillah is not saying a particular text to God. The definition of tefillah is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you don't, what we do in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is we talk to him. It's part of the time. When you spend time with people, you typically, even if you're just getting to know you, meet someone new, personally, business-wise, whatever it is, rarely do you meet someone new by just sort of sitting there and staring at each other, silently. That would be pretty unusual. You spend time with people and you talk about things. Often, when it's about getting to know other people, what you talk about is often secondary to the fact that you're spending time together and the vibe that you're having. Like I mentioned, think about how you first met your best friend. You may not remember the content of the conversation. It was really, in retrospect, not that important. What's more important is that you met and you clicked and you began a friendship. One day she will look back and say, wow, that was the first time I met my best friend for life. And the content of the conversation will probably, in retrospect, be far secondary to the fact that you enjoyed the time months. We spent together enough, at least, to want to meet again. So Hu Adinami in Tefillah, Reb Chaim says, the definition of Tefillah is not saying words. That's how we do Tefillah. That's how we implement. That's the method. But the definition of Tefillah is being over with Hashem. So if you're not, I know I came to shul and I put my talis on tefillin and I said Shemoneh Esrei, but it did not for a moment occur to me in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was saying all the words in the Seder. Reb Chaim says, you didn't realize you were davening. You were saying the words in the Seder, but that's not davening. Davening is Om Avinu L'Fnei Hashem. So Reb Chaim says, that's why Kavos Om L'Fnei Hashem is Ma'akev Thera. And that's why the Rambam felt the need not to tell you practically it's Ma'akev, but say fundamentally, it's otherwise it's not Tefillah because you're a Masasek. That's not your Tefillah. You haven't done an act of Tefillah unless you're aware you're doing an act of the definition of an act of Tefillah is Avinu L'Fnei Hashem. Now, with that in mind, let's organize, and I'm glad to take questions. Let's roll things into place. So, Chaim gives the big yisoid. The yisoid is the definition of the act of tefillah is not saying words of tefillah. The definition of the act of tefillah is spending time in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, communing with the Lord. Being open to Amid L'Fnei Hashem is the definition of tefillah. Words are what we do when we die. So, this, several nafkaminis. Nafkamin number one is what we're in the middle of right now. That explains, that's Miyashe, the steer in Gemara, Lamed Lamed Dalet. Tosfos had said there's no steer because the second one's explained the first one. The Rambam didn't think so. The Rambam thinks that it taught two different Kavanas. Kavanas are Pirush HaMilas, that's the second Gemara, only Ma'akim, the first Bracha. But Kavanas Om L'Fnei Hashem, that's Ma'akim throughout, that's the first Gemara, and the reason why Om L'Fnei Hashem Ma'akim throughout is because that's the definition of Tefillah, is Om L'Fnei Hashem. If you don't recognize that, you're a Masas. Nafki number one, in the definition of Tefillah being Amid L'Fnei Hashem, is that Kavanas Om L'Fnei Hashem is Ma'akim throughout, because of the fundamental rule of Masas. Nafki number two, we understand well, absolutely. The core, the main organ of Tefillah is Lev, not Peh. It's not like Karbanas, where the act of HaKarbanas Karbanas is with your hand. The act of Tefillah, so to speak, is internal. The gesture of tefillah, to use the Rav's language, is of the heart and mind. What you do when you're being mispalel is you say words. But at core it is avoda shebelay. And then Rambam l'shitaso understood the Gemara kipshuto and therefore was ready to understand that pshul shemikra and count as a mitzvah. Number three, we now understand the notion of an informal tefillah and a formal tefillah, and a worded tefillah, and a wordless tefillah. How could all those be tefillah? What is tefillah? The answer is no, tefillah is Amid L'Fnei Hashem. So, usually, we talk. It's conceivable that you just yell. That's what a shofar is, a primal cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it could be free-flowing, or it could be well-structured. Either way, you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midi Rabbanan, the minimum shir of tefillah, is you have to at least say the words of Shemoneh Esrei. That's a din Rabbanan. Want to say more? That's all still tefillah. Okay. Ad Khan, what we developed from Shir. Let me very briefly touch on Liesser Se'es, a couple of other nafkaminas, at least in outline form. Again, one nafkamina in the definition of Tefillah being Amid L'Fnei Hashem, and that's why Kavanas Amid L'Fnei Hashem is the Akhetriya, Misakos Misasa. Number two, it explains why we refer to Tefillah as Avod Shebelay. For the Rambam, that is the essential definition. Number three, and then for Rambam Shitaso counts tefillah as a deraisa. Number three is wordless tefillah, informal tefillah, all fits under the same roof. Number four, and this is Miyashev in Marmakomas, it was item Gimel. The Beis Yosef points out that two Rishonim, Beinu Gershom and the Ravid, both think that if you schmooze in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you have to go all the way back to the beginning. Beis Yosef is raised, not just that the bracha in the middle of his pasuk to repeat that bracha, go back to the beginning. So the Beis Yosef is very surprised because the Tosfos and other Rishonim disagree. And they say you have to run away in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei because there was a dangerous snake, so you don't have to repeat the whole Shemoneh Esrei. Pick up from the bracha you're up to. So Beis Yosef assumes it's a machlokes, and he's very surprised how come this minority view are disagreeing with all the other Rishonim. And he suggests, according to Reb Chaim, maybe it's not a machlok at all. Maybe it's a difference between a technical hafsik versus a fundamental hafsik. And there was a dangerous snake, so I ran away. So I was almost with Hashem. I just had to move around. Okay. So that didn't ruin my whole Shemoneh Esrei, right? I took a pause and now I'm back. So we could talk about it. You take a pause. Technical Dean of Hefsi. I took a pause. You know, how much, where do I go back to? But the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Ravid say, when I shmooze in the Shemoneh Esrei, one could argue that's more than just a technical Hefsi. That's a you're repudiating the notion that you're Omer L'Fnei Hashem. You stopped being Omer L'Fnei Hashem. You're talking to him about the game last night. So that's mafkia, the whole essence of the tefillah. So we understand well, according to Reb Chaim's definition, why shmoozing Milo Shema Esrei would destroy the whole Shema Esrei in a way that just running away because of danger would not. That was number four. Number five is it explains why it is that Elokai Netzar is considered to be, you're still in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, even though you finished the formal required language Shemoneh Esrei, while in benching, Harachamon, even the fourth bracha, we consider to have basically finished benching. Now, if you remember in the middle of Elokai Netzar that you didn't say the same time about the bracha, you're considered to still be omid b'emsa tefila and just go back to Baruch Aleinu. But in benching, you're in the middle of the harachamot, even the fourth bracha, which is obligatory, now you realize you forgot Yalav Yavo, don't just go back to rachim, go back to the beginning. Why? Why is tefillah extendable in the way that benching is not? The answer is, as Leib Pomeranchik points out in his Emek Bracha, Talmud of Revelable, he says, the fear of Chaim understands it well, because benching is a mitzvah, levarech. So you're done with the core brachas. You're done with benching. Now you're saying the things that we say after benching, but you're not benching. It might be obligatory to say the fourth bracha too, and it's a very ancient mix, say rachaman, but you're mechuyev to say that after you bench, but you're not benching. You're done with saying the brachas of benching. So then you have to be chozer l'rosh. Masha ain't okay. Tefillah isn't saying particular texts, it's Omid L'Fnei Hashem. It doesn't matter if their obligatory text is done. You're still being Omid L'Fnei Hashem, and that's why you're still being Emsa Tefillah, and that's why if you remember the same Demant of Racha, you know, Kain Atzar, you're considered Omid Emsa Tefillah, you're just Chosher to the Bracha Shetaba. Tefillah is extendable. And finally, number six is the question of preparation. Gemara says in Maseches Yumin, the last parak, that if a person's hands are dirty, there's a lot of wash on Yom Kippur. Can't have rechitza shel tamid. One of the shari nuyim is rechitza. Whether it's d'oraisa or rabbanan, not our discussion now. But that's a big machlokes Ashkenaz misfaradim. Whether shari nuyim, whether Yom Kippur is only us that are in fasting to eat and drink, or even the other four nuyim. Whatever it is, whether it's d'oraisa or rabbanan, but clearly is also to wash on Yom Kippur, and it's also clear that washing leta'anug, washing letzorech is mutter. If I'm dirty, if my hands got dirty, I fell in the mud, I can wash off the dirt. It doesn't give me a right to say take a shower, but do whatever I have to do to get clean. Whether it's physical dirt or spiritual dirt. You wake up in the morning, you wash nechalas, same idea. You don't wash extensively, you wash however much you need. The Chassam of the Baal Yatosis are quoted by the Hagos Maimini and the Baal Rambam as saying that a person comes out of the bathroom. So if your hands are dirty, of course you wash them. Pashut, and Yom Kippur, it's not a violation of Rechitz, it's not Rechitz Shel Tayeg. And several, the Hagos Maimini quotes several Baal Yatosis who said, even if your hands aren't dirty, your hands are physically clean, your hands did not get physically soiled in the bathroom, but if you're good, all year long we would want to wash our hands. That would be a correct, healthy intuition. Halachically and hashkafically, the appropriate intuition as well. On Yom Kippur, I can't wash my hands just because. When my hands are soiled or dirty, of course I can. And even my hands are not soiled, if I'm about to daven, Hikol Nikros El Kach Yisrael. That's what the Baal Yatosis quote. The pasuk from Tresar, you have to prepare yourself to go greet your God. So you gotta wash your hands as a hachana for tefillah on Yom Kippur, even if you came out of the bathroom, even if your hands are physically clean. Quote Shulchan Aruch, Simitar Freish of Gittel. The Taz says, what do you mean if you're going to daven? You're always gonna daven. It's Yom Kippur. Well, the answer is all. After Myra, before you go to sleep, you're gonna wash the Nagavas in the morning anyways before Shulchan Aruch. At that point, you're not holding by daven. That's the question. The person came home after Ma'ariv Leil Yom Kippur, he used the bathroom, but his hands are physically clean and unsoiled. Does he have the right to wash his hands? The answer is, at that point, since you're not going to daven Shema Esrei, Shofar says no. Frek the Tad, you can say Ashi Yatzar. You're always going to say Ashi Yatzar. So I think the answer is, based on the Sukkot, Ashi Yatzar doesn't, is not Likar Selokecha. The din of Hachana is daven when you're going to go, the language was, to go greet the gods. That's Lifnei Hashem, that's Tefillah. Other things are not Lifnei Hashem. Benching is not Lifnei Hashem. Ashi Yatzar is not Lifnei Hashem. It's a bracha. But you're not, in the, so to speak, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way you are when you're Davish Meresser. But the line from Nafkaminas, number one is Kavanah Ma'akim. Kavanah Ma'akim Hashem is Ma'akim throughout because the definition of Tefillah is the Mi'akim Hashem. Number two, Tefillah is, according to Rambam Shitasa, we understand why Tefillah Taki is Avodah Shebelev, not Avodah Shebefek. Number three, and we understand how wordless tefillah or informal tefillah and formal structured tefillah are all tefillah. Number four, we understand why perhaps Rabbi Gershon Reibed held, maybe all the Rishonim held, but not Beis Yosef, but maybe many Rishonim held, that schmoozing with someone in Shemar Esrei is far more destructive than just being mafsek technically. Shmoozing is not just a hefsek, it's a undoing of the whole Lifnei Hashem. Number five is we understand the extendability of tefillah in terms of why you close the rosh, close the rosh, when you're saying the tachanunim achar tefillah, saying el kainitzar is more part of tefillah than the fourth bracha benching is part of benching. And finally, number six is that the din of hachana, preparing yourself to be dressed properly, your hands washed, and so on and so forth, is dafka for Shemona Esher, because that's likar selkecha, but not for other brachas. As the Gemara itself says, that the standard of dress that's required for Shemona Esrei is higher than that required for Shema. You have to be properly dressed for Shemona Esrei much more than for the mitzvah d'oraisa of Shema, because Shemona Esrei, you understand well, that is specifically the Fnei Hashem, likar selkecha. Okay. Kavya Shkach, we've got to stick around for as many questions yet. Yeah.